Well, happy Father's Day, gentlemen. And just like for Mother's Day, we gave out a gift, men, we have a gift for you as well. Now, you guys are worth far more than the dollar or something we paid for each of these. But what these are credit card size multi-tools. Yeah, see? Please feel free to pick those up on the way out. They do everything from, screwdriver, wrench, a bottle opener. Actually, it says can opener, I doubt that. But anyway, cell phone stand. And if you're like me, what I'm gonna do is put this in my car, and then it's gonna come up in that time when you're like doing something, you're like, man, if I only, wait a second, I can use that. So, no, happy Father's Day, guys. And oh, and by the way, I wanna make sure you know, this is not just for fathers, this is for any man 18 or older, okay? We have enough for every man 18 or older. The greeters will have these, or ushers will have these out there. So, this is a Father's Day message. Men, our church needs us, our world needs us, and so my desire with my message today is to help encourage, inspire, challenge us to be the men that we can be. Now, for me to suppose that we're gonna accomplish this all in one message is a lofty goal for me, but yet I do think I can put a spark. Because what I'm really doing is I'm pointing you to Jesus, right? So, ladies, this does not mean you are excluded from the sermon. Number one, it'd be really awkward if I had all the ladies leave the room. But number two, there are things that are definitely transferable to everyone because we're all human. And so, ladies, I don't want you to think you won't get anything out of this message, but it is primarily to the men. Now, let me explain the title that I have, The Magnetic Weight of Being a Man, Masculine Responsibility Under the Hand of God. Let me just describe a couple key words. First of all, you have the word magnetic. We'll get to that later. That's actually at the very end that we'll get to what I mean by magnetic. So we'll get to that. Underneath there, you have the word responsibility. So one of the things we do as men is we tend to think in terms of responsibility. And what responsibility is referring to, or I should say the etymology of responsibility, is that you have a weight that, or something that you're meant to do that you answer to somebody for, okay? So that's what it is to be responsible, that you're answering to someone. Now, obviously, as Christians, we know we're answerable to God. We can cut to the chase there. But we're gonna talk a little bit about what it is to bear that responsibility. And then there's the weight. Now, when I talk about weight, I'm really thinking about two primary things. First of all is physical weight. No, I'm not talking about this. I have a glass at home that says, it's not a dad bod, it's a father figure. I'm like, yes. For all of you with men with a similar shape as me, I'm taking one for the team for you because Peter is V'd this way, I'm V'd this way. I'm sure none of it has to do with lack of exercise. No, but as men, we are actually designed physically to carry more weight than women. Now, I'm speaking in generalities. I know there are exceptions. But if you take competitive level men and women and train them up the same, the men are gonna be stronger, faster, take more of a beating, generally speaking, than the women. Like that's part of one of the crazy things about our world and this, you know, men playing in women's sports type things. It's just unfair across the board, but especially for women. When I was in high school, I went to a small private school, and We had a soccer team. We had enough people for a soccer team. But if we were going to do a gym, one of the things we would do is we would play soccer, and it would be co-ed. It would be mixed, right? So it was guys and girls playing soccer. Now, the guys, generally speaking, you know, very careful around the girls. We knew we could, you know, do some damage if it came down to it. But I remember one time, one of the athletic girls, more athletic girls, she was one of the ones that, like, you know, yeah, if she gets the ball, there's a good chance she's going to do something good with it. She's got the ball, and she's coming towards me. We're on opposite sides, opposite teams. And so I'm there in my stance, and I'm ready. You know, I'm waiting for her, right? And I'm watching the ball, and she's going. But the thing is, she was watching the ball, too. She wasn't looking at me. And she comes closer and closer, and I'm expecting her to pass or something, and she doesn't. She slams right into me. Boom. Boom, boom, I should say. She, in her description, if I remember correctly, was something like, it was like hitting a brick wall. For me as a guy, I was like, I didn't really feel it. But that, it illustrates the difference between men and women when it comes to that physical strength that generally is there. Now, women, not saying you're weak, certainly not. Childbirth is proof alone of that. Pretty sure that would kill any man for many reasons. Also, men, if you're with me on this, there is something about sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes when we get a cold, we feel the clutches of death on our very soul. And then there's also a great routine by Tim Hawkins where he talks about the stress that it was making toast with his kids there. You just cannot do it all, right? Women, you're much more gifted at that kind of thing. Not the toast part, but just multitasking. But as men, we do have that masculine strength, but that's not all that makes us masculine. In fact, every one of us has a different body type. Some of us are stronger than others. What makes us masculine comes from in here, right? And it's the thing, I mean, the whole package is God-given, but man, you know, even Paul said that, you know, physical exercise does have its value, but it's really down here. That's not his words, but it's really down here what makes the difference. So as you think about what it is to bear the weight of a man down here, one of the things you may do is think about people in your lives, of what your mental picture of who a man should be. Men, I can all but guarantee that we all have some vague image in our head. Maybe it's, you know, somebody that we looked up to. I mean, that's awesome, right? Somebody we could have learned from. And for myself, like, one of the people I look up to is my father. I definitely learned from his example. Others, you might have some of the more childlike imagery in your head. So for example, you might think of that out front leader in battle. Think King Arthur or a Viking or maybe even King David, right? You know, that out front guy that led the charge. Maybe in your mind you have this idea of some of the more stealthy guys, like James Bond, John Wick, Batman. If he can be Batman, always be Batman. Still others might think of some of the other guys that we see in some of our lore. For example, Samwise Gamgee from Lord of the Rings. Or maybe you would think about Batman's butler, Alfred. I actually relate to those two more because those are the guys behind the guys. They're definitely men in their own right, but their job is to be behind the other guy and keep him from going off the deep end, right? Like I said, maybe think of somebody you personally know. All of these mental images are good, and we can definitely learn from them. But does that mean you should be exactly like that image? In a few years ago, several of us went to a what was called I'm pretty sure they called it a battle weekend or battle for the heart weekend. It was with the Wellspring Ministry, Wellspring Group. And they gave us definitions of masculinity and femininity for that matter, that I just want to put in front of us, because it resonated for me, and maybe it's helpful to you. The essence of masculinity is to engage with strength and love, offering life and growth. And ladies, just so you have it, but it's also good for contrast, the essence of femininity is to engage with courage, beauty, and love, inviting your domain into life and rest. Now, for the men, I do want to focus on two of the words. You'll see two of them there are engage and offering. First, with engage. When you see the word engage, what I want you to think is what it takes to operate out of strength and love with those that are around you, with your family. Say if you're a dad, how you are with your kids. But you may not even be a father. Maybe it's another relationship. Like, how do you engage with the people around you in strength and love? Because here's what we have a tendency to do, guys. Instead of the engage, in live stream, I'm sorry to say, I'm going to move around quite a bit now. What we have a tendency to do is one of two extremes. We'll come over here on the dominate side. We will use our strength to take control of the situation. Now, there is a time for this, right? There is a time to protect your loved ones. There is a time for you to fully show your strength and take care of those around you. But sometimes we overuse that strength. Again, our strength can be very calming and secure for the people that are in our care. But sometimes we take that strength and we overuse it to dominate situations. So a kid comes up to you, one of your kids comes up to you and you're upset. Instead of, gingerly or tenderly coming, letting them speak and talk with you, you might you're fine. You'll be fine. Don't worry about it. There's that. But then on the other side is the whole withdrawal thing. We have a tendency to pull back. I've had a really long day at work, and this is even as a pastor. I have a really long day at work. I don't feel like talking to anybody else. I get home, and what do I want to do? Totally retreat, right? Now, there's a point in retreating. There's a time for, I need a few minutes. But especially, man, again, for your husbands, if your wife has kids at home and she's been dealing with them, or she's also been working and so now you're both coordinating, man, you have to be engaged. You can't just pull back all the time, right? So we have this extreme. The other thing is offering. In offering, I love the word offering because what it implies is there's initiative, but there's open-handedness. See, as guys, we have a tendency to want to dominate. Again, there's a time and place. But if we offer life and growth to those around us, it's amazing what it does in the life of people. Now, here's a question for you. How do you do any of this? Now, again, this is from a retreat. Maybe this resonates with you, maybe it doesn't. I saw some people taking pictures of it. Great, that's awesome. But maybe this doesn't resonate for you, right? Or again, we have the examples. All of those things, while they help shape the picture of what we should be as men, it doesn't necessarily tell the whole story for each and every one of us. Like, how does Rob be a man? How does Wilmer be a man? How does Josh back there be a man? Right? What if we could do something about that? What if you could learn directly from your maker on what it is for you to be a man? Think about it. If God made us, What if you could learn to be a man directly from God? Well, of course you can. How many times do we stand up here talking about how I need to pray to God, I need to learn from God, I need to do all this? We struggle with it, men. Why do we struggle with it? We don't even like taking directions, right? How many guys, show of hands, how many guys, if you buy something, let's say from IKEA, or a Lego set, or anything like that, how many of you actually fully read the directions before you dive in? Oh, wow. Not very many of you. Ladies, I'm sorry for the furniture in your house. This is not a bad thing, guys. This is actually part of how we're wired, right? We like to come up with new things. We like to be able to, it's part of what leads us to exploring and going on adventures. It's that thing inside of us that wants to do new things. And so we want to drive, we want to lead, we want to press forward. And I'll be darned if I'm going to let some Swedish company tell me the way I'm supposed to put furniture together. A little different with God, but there is a bit of mystery here. Okay, so Psalm 139:13. All right, that is for you formed me in my, or you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. Very personal. So God designed each and every one of us men, right? So who better to go to talk about what it is for you to be a man, right? There's an amazing thing that happens with God. We learn from him how to be a better man. Yet somehow, there's stuff inside of us that initiates and contributes, yet it's ultimately all from him. I'll get to that in a little bit. In Matthew 11:28-30, this is what Jesus said. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus, the ultimate man and your maker. Who better to know how Rob should be a man than Jesus himself, who was a man, but it was also my creator. Now, there's a lot of stuff we could spend time with in this passage. I want to highlight two things. Number one, he says to learn from him. That implies that you have an action on your part. That implies that you have to come to him and learn from him. Now, as men, sometimes we bristle against this. We want to do things our way. I guarantee you, if you can lay down your way before the Maker, it's going to be a whole lot better. And in fact, you'll be amazed at what he does with your way. Sometimes he actually keeps it, but he always changes it. He always makes it better. The other thing I want to point out is that he is gentle and lowly in heart. Men, how many of you, when you think of a masculine man, a man's man, do you think of gentle and lowly? I mean, that's not the first thing that comes to my mind. Yet that's how he describes himself. Doesn't mean he's weak. Creator of the universe. Could destroy everything in a moment and then restore it in a moment. He's powerful, extremely powerful, but so powerful that he can control that strength. Interesting. So when I learn from Jesus, I'm going to learn what it is to be strong in the way that God designed men to be strong. Strength under control, not losing it, not shying away from it, but engaging with it. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 comes after a chapter filled with confusion, criticism, rejection, and warning. John the Baptist is wrestling with Jesus' mission. The crowds are dismissive, and the cities that saw Jesus' works refuse to repent. Into that heaviness, Jesus invites the weary and burdened to come to him for rest. But this rest is not escape from responsibility. He says, "Take my yoke upon you," meaning he calls people into discipleship, submission, and obedience under his rule. The difference is that his yoke is not crushing like sin, self-rule, or man-made religion. It is gentle, humble, and life-giving because it is carried under the authority and heart of Christ. In Matthew's context, Jesus is showing that true rest is found not by throwing off all burdens, but by coming under the right master. So, in your notes, on the back page, you have lots of verses. Don't worry, I am not going to try and get us through all of those today. We'll be here till like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. What my intention for us men is to take these verses, the ones on the left are some of the responsibilities that men are designed for, right? And you can take each and every one of those, work and maintain where you live, take rest when needed. So one of the things we're responsible for is taking rest. Loving your wife as Christ loved the church. Oh, that's no small feat. Be a nurturing father. Provide for your household. Refuse idleness. Do everything with love. Everything. Lead through service. And remember, you're ultimately accountable to God. What I want you to do is take those verses and bring them before Jesus and begin asking the question, how do I do this? Jesus, how do I carry out these responsibilities? Then the other ones, you'll see, these are some ways to learn from Jesus. For example, offer yourself to Jesus. Be humble and use your gifts in proportion to the measure of faith God gives you. Have faith that God will reveal to you the responsibilities to take on and to let go. So it's not that you're going to take on more and more and more. It's that you're going to do what Jesus wants you to do. Pay attention to his discipline. Not necessarily what others tell you is his discipline. That's a big one. Diligently pursue him through prayer and the study of his word, remembering that even in times that you are unfaithful, he is faithful. Confess to him where you go astray. And then finally, the passage I read earlier with the Kirkwoods, follow trusted people who follow Jesus to help you learn how to follow Jesus. Your job, your job is not to simply follow someone else. Your job is to follow Jesus. Now, what we do, guys, is we take a list like this and we say, oh, great, now I got more responsibilities to do. That's why you have to go to Jesus with this. There is a mystery, as I was saying before, of engaging with Jesus. It's not that every idea comes directly from him. You can take the responsibilities that you're aware of and you offer them up to him to let him do something with it. Just like in the garden, we were meant to be under him, but also partner with him in rule. Amazing to me. Just like in the end, we are meant to be under his rule and also rule with him. He takes what we can offer him and he makes it something new. Now, in your notes, you also have this little box in the bottom corner. I apologize, this thing's not working well with me. Opportunities that might resonate. I'm gonna go through these quickly. These are opportunities to practice living with responsibility. Do you talk to God about your work? Do you prayerfully consider how to use your job to his glory? Do you think of your family as your responsibility? Do you ask God for his help? If married, do you understand the difference between your role and your wife's role? Fathers and mothers have different roles in their kids' lives. You can help widows and others in need. You can consider helping at something like the Lilburn Co-op to take the strengths that you have. Maybe you have different skill sets or different things like that. Take it to the Lord and say, is there something I can do with this? And then maybe go to the co-op and help there. One cool opportunity that we've just become aware of is Providence Christian Academy is looking for men to hang out with the kids during school hours. Like, sweet. Now, I realize a lot of us have jobs, but if you can work it in, man, how cool would it be that your entire job is to be a presence in these kids' lives? By the way, men, this also means just playing with them. You can go out on the playground and play whatever it is they're playing. Just hang out with them. Good News Club. Kids love when men are leading. It is so true. It's amazing the difference there is when men are in the room versus when the women are in the room. I'm not saying that I have seen Jennifer lead the 90 plus kids in the room. I couldn't do it. But it's amazing the difference it is when the men are there with the kids. What might God put into your heart as you come to Him? Now, with all these opportunities, and there's tons more, my point is that you're taking them to God and you're asking from Him. So here's something I would like you to do. And I'm putting this into practice right now. I've already done week one, and I'm in the middle of week two. Week one is I want you to write one page of confession. Now, how did I jump to confession? Well, as men, one of the responsibilities we bear, or maybe I should say one of the weights we bear, we will often bear shame. For some reason, things really stick to us like that, and we cannot let them go. Bringing it before God, and every day, writing, throughout the week, you would write one page of confession, and then each day read Psalm 51 and 1 John 1:5 through 10. I'm telling you, if you do that every day, looking to God, you will begin to feel a release in your heart. I'm not saying it's going to fix everything, but you will definitely see the difference in turning to Him. And the second week is writing one page of responsibilities you know that you have. List them out. And then begin to take them to God. Okay? And I suggest reading daily, Matthew 11, 28 through 30, to really lay out what does Jesus want me to do with these responsibilities? Now, if you do that, I guarantee you will see a difference in your lives. But I want to illustrate this, and this is where the magnets come in. So if you give me just a second, pardon me. No, it'll be easier if I do this. Now, as my wife has rightly taught me, be careful about where you put stuff. All right, so in here, or not in here, this is the box, all right? Now, this box represents men's souls, right? Now, don't get lost in the color. It's what I was able to purchase, all right? But maybe there's something to that too, but the illustration doesn't have to do with the color, all right? Now, here's what it feels like for a man with responsibilities. Let me start with work. It's one of our big ones. This is a wrench, okay? Now, represents our work. I'm not saying every man works with tools, but in some way you kind of do. So whether you're a programmer, a mechanic, a pastor, something, you're working with things, right? And it sticks to us like a strong magnet. We feel it all the time, right? There's more. Now, this is especially true if you are married, but it's true if you're not married, and that is the responsibilities of home, okay? It's a little easier when you're single, although you deal with different things when you're single, but responsibilities when you're home, okay? Then, now this is, well, sometimes you have that friend that asks you to help with something, or married men, you're like, your wife's like, let's paint the living room today. Yay! This is an opener for a paint can, so that's in the responsibility there. Then, here's a lock. You know what this lock represents? Our sin. It binds us. That's somewhere in there too. Then there's all the little things that start to come up in life. Just, they don't even really have a category, but they just begin to affect everything. And it's like one more thing. And then you come home and somebody says something to you and you either lose it with them because you're tired of somebody adding stuff to your plate, or you totally retreat, right? So yeah, there's just all this stuff, right? So then, you know, if anything shakes it up, it, you know, it begins to fall off and it's hard to manage. And then you go to a seminar and they tell you, let me teach you how to organize your life. And it's like, oh, okay, great. So I'm gonna somehow take all of this stuff off. Now that's hard in and of itself. And I'm gonna put, because guys, we think in categories, right? Well, many of us do at least. So I'm gonna put stuff in different categories, and that's gonna make everything better. So like, okay, home is one category, so I'm gonna put that there. And by the way, I'm not saying that it's wrong to put things in categories. I'm not saying it's wrong to be organized. In fact, the Bible talks about self-discipline, and so that's part of it. But we feel like that's gonna be a magic fix. But then your wife, you know, has you paint something, and then somehow work fits in there, but it doesn't really fit across one thing, so it's too big, and then sin, and oh gosh, and then the stuff piles up. What am I supposed to do with this? Our weight of responsibility, man, is a God-given thing. Does anybody know what this is? Besides a magnet. A fishing magnet, thank you. Guys, one of the coolest things you'll ever hear about. You know what you do with this? You attach a rope to it, and you throw it in water and drag up metal. My friend, now the women are already like, great, rusted metal. The guys are like, ooh. I have a friend that does this, and he has a forge at home, and he takes that metal and forges things. How cool is that? Ladies, if you haven't gotten your husband or whatever man in your life a Father's Day gift yet, I guarantee you, a forge will do it. Now, this particular magnet is rated for 500 pounds of pull. It's pretty good, right? Now, guys, I want you to help me explain something to the women. I could have gotten 150, 250, 350 pounds. Why did I get the 500 one? Bigger is always better. Yeah, exactly. It's like, why wouldn't you get the 500 one? Why didn't I get the 1,000 one? Unfortunately, they did. And I'm regretting the decision. You can get up to, at least the ones on Amazon, 2,600 pounds. Now guys, right? Now guys, this is where age begins to take into effect and experience, because it was a lot more expensive than the 500 one. And one of the things they said to us, gosh, I'm so sorry about that. One of the things they said, said in the description, is that they don't recommend this for new fishers, because it can get stuck to like metal objects like a bridge, and you can't get it off. Sound advice, all right. So, but it was also a lot more expensive. So anyway, why do I have this? All right, so who's holding this? I am, right? But let's say, for the sake of the illustration, that this magnet represents us as men holding responsibility, or the potential to hold responsibility. And the person that's holding us is God, right? Now, if I, no problem for God to hold this, and no problem for me to hold this work. I lost my stuff here. That job that my wife wants me to do, my responsibilities at home. Oh, but then sin. And then if I start adding other stuff to this, oh yeah, see, it won't even hold, right? Darn sin gets in the way. If I let Jesus control what's in the magnet, I can always hold myself what I'm responsible for, because ultimately, he's the one holding it. It's not just me, it's him. Oh, one of the things I didn't illustrate in this is the difficulty with all of these extra problems and everything. There was one more part of the illustration that I could have done, and that is the really surprising difficulties of life. Which I'm going to go ahead and take these off. Imagine the problem that we feel as men when tragedy strikes and really hard things happen. And we begin to think we have to hold it all. We can't. But what we can do, and what we find out, is that if we let Jesus hold the problem, yeah, we have a responsibility in it, but what we realize is that he actually holds everything and orchestrates everything. If I try to make everything fit in here, plus all my other stuff, it's not going to work. But when I let God guide me and let me be responsible for what he wants me to be responsible for, I can trust him with the stuff I cannot manage. Right? By the way, Dad, I still have your chain. Said he wondered about that. Oh man, that one's really stuck. Oh, there we go. That's what I meant by the magnetic weight. An illustration of what it is to let God hold you while you hold the responsibilities he's given you. Men, I wish you a happy Father's Day. Whether you're a father or not, you have a place in this world to offer the people in your lives life and growth, and do so with strength and love. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time that we've had here together. And Lord, we ask that you please guide us. Lord, help us men to truly follow after you, to take everything in our lives and look to you, to learn from you. Lord, help us to do so with hearts open and full of faith. And may we bring you glory as we do so. In Jesus' name, amen.